Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Hamisha, the fifth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Chiris, and the Laws of Rentals, and the Sefer Mishpatim, Book of Judgments, where we continue the halacha of the previous perek, discussing the rental of certain items, animals and houses. And this perek we discuss regarding the continuation of the rental agreement, willingly and forcibly. As Rambam begins halacha alf, regarding the responsibility of the renter and the one who's renting it to him, regarding the loss of the rented, of the leased item. Hasrichas behema. Someone rents an animal. V'chalsa. And it became ill, in the status, or went mad, or went mentally deranged. Or was taken by the king to do the work of the king. Although it's not even going to end up being given back. It was taken on its journey. In other words, the king had only said, we're going to take conscript animals that are found on the roads. So the owner of the animal could tell the renter, what's yours is in front of you. In other words, it's your bad mazel that caused the situation, what happened to the animal that's rented to you, and it's like you, it's yours as it is, and that's what you got to deal with. And the renter has to pay for the full amount of the rental, no matter, even though the circumstances that the animal got sick or was taken by the king, it doesn't make a difference. Now, when we say this, that if an animal comes sick or goes mad, that the owner could tell him, okay, this is what you got. This is your situation. You still got a payment for the rental. It's only if he had hired the animal to carry in a load, that load you could throw off the animal without being particular where it's going to fall, where it's a type of material, a type of element that we're not afraid of it breaking. It's not fragile. And therefore, such an animal that's sick or mad, even if it's going to throw it off, nothing's going to happen to the package. And if it's considered a valid rental, you got to keep on using the animal. Let's say you hire the animal to ride on it, to put on it glass vessels, like it's been things like that that are fragile, like a human being. Then the owner has to replace it and give him a different donkey. The reason why this is because this animal that he gave him is not fit to fulfill the conditions of the rental, which is for a person to ride on or to put on fragile things, if he had rented from him a donkey. Now, Vim Loi Hemet, if he doesn't give him a different one, Yachzar Socha, then he's got to give him back the rent, the amount of the rental. V'yachshvimayal Socha Kamashalch, but now he calculates with him how much the rent was for the amount that he had used it for. But although he paid for the entire week or whatever it is, he's got to give him back now from here on if he does not want to replace it with an appropriate donkey for what he had rented it for. Halacha Beis. Meisa Behemo Inishbar. Let's say animal dies, or it's injured and it's not fit to do any work at all. So Bench Shechada losses whether he had hired it to carry loads, Bench Shechada Lirkab, whether he had hired it to ride on it. Im Amalai, so it depends. If he told him, Chamor Stom, Ani Maskeloch, says, without specifying, he says, I'm going to rent to you a donkey. So Chav L'Hamalai Chamor Achar Mekamakam. In all situations, you got to go ahead and give him another donkey to take its place. And the reason for that is because the owner had accepted responsibility to provide for this person a donkey until he finishes the purpose of his rental. If he does not fulfill his obligations, so that removes the obligation of the renter to pay for the rent. Now, Bimloy Hemed, and if he does not provide him with a new animal, Yesh L'Sichu Limkar Behema. Actually, the renter could actually sell that animal, but Likach Ba Behema Acheres, and to purchase another animal, or even Sichu Behema with the Meha. He could rent an animal with the value that he gets from selling this dead animal. If there is, then of course he should buy instead of renting, wasting the owner's money. But if there's not enough of the monetary value to buy an animal, he could actually rent one at Shagila Makam Shapasavka until he gets to his destination, which they had made up that he has to get to. Now, however, Amalei, let's say he says to him, Chamor Zeh Ani Seichlach. They didn't say Chamor Stam. He said, this donkey I'm renting to you. So if he had made up that he's renting it to ride in the clay's chuchas or for glass vessels, the mesa bechazadech and then dies halfway through the road. If, in the value of this dead donkey, you have likach b'macheres, the amount that you could purchase another animal, so yikach, he should buy it. And the reason why that is because the animal is indebted to him even after it dies if he had rented it for riding. Let's say there's not enough value of this dead animal to buy a new animal with it, then seicher. Then he could use it to rent a filbet mekul, even using up all the value of that dead animal, until he gets to the destination that he made up with him, with the owner. Now, if the monetary value of this dead animal is loy likach, not enough to buy and not enough even to rent, then, okay, so he pays to the owner the rental of that halfway journey, because ultimately he did benefit from getting here to the halfway point. And the ain't like a love elataremis, and he only has complaints. In other words, that even though the renter cannot claim any money from the owner, because it doesn't have to give more than the value of his dead animal, but because it's only that that's meshubit to the journey, but nothing beyond that, when he says this donkey, but he's allowed to complain on the owner because of the injustice that here he rented him a weak animal, and it's not prohibited for him to have this complaint. Sometimes you're not supposed to have complaints, that's okay, but all he has is complaints. Now, schar lamasa, however, let's say he rented the animal for its load to carry stuff, not to ride on and not for klis chuches. So, since he said this donkey, it may be chatzidek and it died halfway through the journey, in the chayv, it doesn't have to provide him another donkey. Rather, he provides for him for the wages of halfway of the journey, and he leaves the dead animal over there for the owner, because the dead animal is not indebted to the renter to take and be able to utilize that money to buy or to rent another animal with that value. Because by saying Chamar Zed, this donkey that he stipulated at the time of the rental, sounds like that he's not obligated to give him another donkey until he finishes the work, not even from the monetary value of the dead one, meaning if it dies, because he did not create a lien on the donkey, but for the work that he's doing with him that he stipulated, and nothing beyond it, not in the donkey itself. So here, that's it. He pays for half, and then he leaves the dead animal. He can't use it to sell it. Halacha Gimel. Hasoich es hasfina. If someone rents a boat, and it sinks halfway through the journey. Seim Amalai, depends what he said to him. If he said to him, Sfina zu ani maskelach, this boat I'm renting to you. Uschada hasoicher, and the renter had rented it, lailach bayayin stam, to transport wine unspecific. He didn't say which wine. So there's two variables. There was the purpose of the renter and the owner. The owner is saying this boat, and the renter is saying wine. They didn't say which one. So av bishon nosmo ha'sachar, so even if he gave him already the rent for the lease, yachzer kol ha'sachar, the owner has to give him back all the wages. Meaning, even for the halfway point that he already had taken the boat, he's got to give it back. Because you only say that the seicher pays for halfway the journey only in the place where he gained from it, not over here where his wine sank midway in the ocean and there's total loss, so then the renter doesn't have to give anything. And the reason is, shahrezeh oimeloi, because he could tell the owner, havali hasvina atzma shesacharti, bring me the boat itself that I rented, because shahakpadi gedili ish besvina zu, I was very particular, I wanted this boat, and you said svina zu. And then, if you give me this boat, and then I'll take any wine, because I didn't specify what type of wine. I said, stam yayin. And then, yeah, that's part of the condition. We're still in the contract. We didn't finish. And you give me the boat, and then I can fulfill this condition of taking wine. Now, since the owner cannot fulfill that condition of this boat to be able to finish that rental because it sank, but the renter could fulfill his condition because he didn't say which one, although that wine sank, but he could bring any other wine. So therefore, it's the fault of the owner, and therefore he doesn't have to pay for his reneging, albeit forcibly, on the contract. Now let's say Amalei Sfina Stam Ani Maskelach. Let's say the other way around. Let's say the owner said, it didn't specify, a boat I will lease to you. And now the renter had said, he's renting the boat because he wants to transport this wine. So it's the inverse of the previous case. He didn't give any of the wages. The other way around, he had given it, and then he has to give it back. Here, it's to the contrary. Here, even if he didn't pay any of the rent yet, he has to give all of the rent. Why? Because the owner of the boat could tell him, bring me that wine, which you had said it's that wine, which is in the bottom of the ocean right now, and I'll take any boat, because he didn't say which boat, I'll take any boat, and I'll transport it. So here, the problem about fulfilling the contract is because of the renter. So it's his fault. Aval but, tzarech lenakas, you do have to take off the amount of effort of halfway of the journey, which the owner, who's the sailor, he has to go through the effort of transporting the boat, had it not sank. Because you cannot compare someone who has to transport a boat, someone sitting and not doing anything. In other words, you have to calculate from the payment of the halfway of the journey, which the owner accepts for his payment, diminished by the amount that a person's prepared to take off from his payment, how much he would not have to work, rather sit, which is the case over here. So although he has to pay him that amount, but minus the fact that he's not doing any work. Now, Amalei, a different case. Let's say he says to him, the renter says to the owner, Svina zu ani maskir, I'm renting this boat. The owner's telling him, this boat I'm leasing out to you. And the renter is saying, I want to transport this one. So both of them are saying this. So here it depends. If the renter already paid the rent, he can't get it back. If he didn't give it yet, then he doesn't have to give it. And the reason for that is because the owner can't bring this boat because it's on the bottom of the ocean. This one can't bring this one because it's also on the bottom of the ocean. So in other words, since neither one of them could fulfill their conditions, so we leave it that the monies remain, whoever has it, and whoever's claiming has the lower hand because neither one can fulfill their stipulations. So depending if he gave it or didn't give it would depend if he owes him all or nothing. Now, the last case, Sachas Fina Stum, Liyayin Stum, let's say he didn't specify not which boat, and he didn't say not which wine, Hadei L'chalken HaSachar, so then they divide that amount of the rent because of both of them could technically go ahead and do it, and therefore that's an equal split. Halacha Dalet continues regarding nullification of the responsibility in middle of the rental. Sasecha es hasfina, if someone rents a boat, and he unloads it halfway through the journey, he still has to pay for him the wages of the entire journey according to how they stipulated, because the renter can't back out in the middle of their rental agreement. Now let's say if the renter finds that someone that rented from him until the destination which he had made up with the owner, so he could rent, sublease it out to someone else, but the owner of the boat could have complaints on him because he's causing him to be involved with another person that he didn't know about and didn't want to get into with. But he's allowed to sublease it. So too, let's say the owner of the one who rented the boat sells all his merchandise that was on the boat that he was transporting to another person, halfway through he stopped in some port halfway through. So be honest, he gets off the boat, he sold it all. Now the buyer gets onto the boat and he finishes the journey because he's going to sell it in that final destination. So, the owner takes the wages of the halfway journey from the first guy, and the wages of the second half from the last person. But the owner of the boat could have complaints on the first guy, that he's causing him to tolerate das ish acher, the consciousness of another person, shadan horgel, but he's not used to it, and I don't want to get involved with another third party. But all he gets is complaints, anything that's similar to this. Halacha, he says the Rambam, Mekani Yomer, from here I say, Shamasker bayis l'chaver, someone leases a house to his friend, Adman Katsav, up until a certain amount of time, a certain set date. Now, but Ratzah Seichel Lahasriya bayis l'achar, the renter now wants to sublease it to someone else, Adsav's man until the end of the contract. Masker l'achem, he could lease it out to other people. Im, yesh b'nei bayis k'minim b'nei bayis, if the members of that person's family is the same as the amount of the members of his family, so he's not loading it up more than what the agreement was. But if they were four, now they'll rent it out to someone that's a party of five. Because, as the Rambam explains why you're allowed to do this, because the sages didn't say, they didn't say that a renter is not allowed to rent it out to another renter, regarding movable items. Why? Because the owner could tell him, I don't want that my item, my deposit, should be in the hands of someone else. You have no right to sublease it. Regarding property where it's not really taken out from anywhere to somewhere else, not in the hands of someone else. Or the case of the boat which the Rambam is extrapolating from. In that case, the owner is with it, because the owner of the boat, he would go with the renter and he would protect his boat. So ein, so then he cannot say, this, I don't want you to go ahead and sublease it to someone else. Says Rambam, so do I say. If the owner says to the renter, why are you going through the effort and leasing out my house to others? But if you don't want to stay over there, go and leave it, and don't worry, you're exempt from the contract, from the lease. Then he cannot rent it out to someone else. This is paraphrasing the pasuk in Mishlei that don't hold back good from its owner, meaning instead of you leasing it out to someone else, leave the house for who the owner is. Now, the Yesh Mishar, that those who rule, Shein Yochel Eskil Achad Klal, that actually you can never rent out your house, your boat to anyone at all. And the Yitin Scharei at Saviz Man, he has to pay the rental up until the time that they agreed upon, because they hold that the halacha of renting out a house is like Metaltlin, because the homeowner is not there with the renter, and they cannot protect it from the second renter, and therefore it's not so reliant like the first one. And it's not like the case of the boat, which everyone agrees to, that the owner is there and he protects it. So therefore, that by a house, you can never sublease it. But it doesn't appear to me that this halacha is true, because even if something's going to happen, damages of the second person, it's not a claim, because he's going to have to pay for the damage of the second renter. And therefore, rather, Rambam holds that the boat, the house is like the boat, that he's allowed to sublease it to someone else. Halacha Vav continues regarding the responsibility of the owner for the loss of the rented house. So let's say, Bayezani Maskelach. Let's say the owner says, this house I'm leasing to you. After he leased it out, the house collapsed. In the Chayv Levnois, he doesn't have to rebuild it, because he said, this house as it is. But rather, he calculates with him how much did he use it. And he has, but he has to give him back the rest of that rent where he's not able to use the house because it collapsed. But if let's say the owner actually, he destroyed it, then he has to go ahead and give him another house instead of it. Meaning put up a new house like that, or give him an equal rental somewhere else. So let's say he backs out after he rented out to one person, and then he releases or sells that house that he rented to this Jew first to a non-Jew or to some difficult person, which is removing the rental of the first person where he's kicking him out of the house. He has an obligation to lease him another house, the equivalent, because he was obligated because of the rental agreement. Anything that's similar to this has the same halacha. Halacha Zayin, now, Hiskele Bay is stung. Let's say he rented him, unspecific, a house. And the same case, but he didn't say zoo. After the house, he gave him the house, novel, it collapsed. So Chav Lev Nois, he has to rebuild it. Or give him another house, because he promised him a house. Now, if let's say the house that he's giving him in place is smaller than the house that fell down, the renter can't stop him, as long as it's considered a house. He only rented not this house, but a house. So even the house that he's replacing can be smaller. But if he said a house like this, I'm renting to you, so not this, because this has its own halacha, and it's not bayistam, it's a house like this I'm renting to you. So then, Chayv Laham Lebayis Kemidis Arkoi Umidis Rachboi Shal Bayis Zesheroh. So then he has an obligation to put up for him a house, like the measurements of the length and of the width of this house that he had shown him. He cannot tell him, when I said a house like this, I only meant Elishia Karbala. No, I meant a house like this that's close to the river, or Elishok, or to the market, or Lemechet Kazel, or to a bathhouse like this. No. Chayv Laham Lebayis Kemidis Arkoi say, like this means to say like its measurements and like its form. Now, the Fikach, therefore, if the house collapsed after that he had rented it, if it was small, when he's rebuilding it, he's not going to make it big, because there are many people that prefer a smaller house than a big house. If it was gadol, it was big, he's not going to make it small, it has to be kazet. If it was echad, it was one house, he's not going to make it into a duplex, two houses. Shnayim, it was two, he's not going to make it into one house. Also, he can't make less windows than it originally had. He's not going to add on to them. Only if it's with the agreement of both of them, but if not, it has to be exactly like the original one was. Halacha ches, hamaskar aliyah stam. If someone rents out a loft, an upper story, unspecific, so chayv lahamal aliyah, he's got to go ahead and give him an upper story. In other words, if this one collapsed, he's got to give him another one. But amale aliyah zu shagabi bayi zeh. Ani maskar, let's say he says, I'm giving you this upper story that's on top of this first floor, that's what I'm renting to you. Hadeshibi bayi zeh aliyah. So then he's creating something of an obligation of this house for the upper story. So therefore, if the upper story, if it caves in an area of 4x4 tvachim or more, the floor, so the owner has to fix it. He has an obligation for this loft. If he doesn't fix it, because it's this house that was shubit to the upper story, so it's not like just what he lives on the first floor of the owner. He's allowed to come down and dwell in the first floor with the owner until he fixes it, because there is a shibud of the bayis to this ali, because it's bayis there with the ali that's on top of it. Now, let's say there was a three-story house. There were two upper stories on top of the first floor. And the highest floor caves in. So he lives in the lower one. Now, if the low one, meaning the second floor, caves in, here's a subject, that's a situation of doubt. Do we now kick him up to a higher floor? So do we allow him to go down into the first floor So the question is, could the Baal Bais kick him up, which he's going to have to walk more steps up to a third floor? We say, okay, I'm giving Aliyah, or no, I wasn't going that high, and then he could go down to the first floor. So lefikach liyo, there's a different, out of doubt, the homeowner could stop him from living in his first floor apartment. Vimdar, if he does, imatinus mishum, can't take him out, because whoever is the muchzik is allowed to remain with that status quo. Now, ma'is b'echad, there's a story where an individual related to this halacha, Hashem l'chabed, they said to his friend, Dolis is a grapevine that its branches are hanging over a something that's holding it up, where in this case, it was in a peach tree. So he said, this hanging vine, shall gabi ha-parsik, as if it's on top of this peach tree. And they must go, look, that's what I'm renting to you. Now what happened was that the peach tree actually got uprooted from its place. And the story came from the sage, and they said to him, you have to put back up the peach tree, as long as the grapevine is around, because he was meshabed, just like the first floor is aliyah zu, al-gabi bayazu, he was meshabed, he created a lien of the peach tree for the grapevine by saying, Allah farsik zeh. In case it was anything like that, then the shibud actually extends to the thing that was part of the contractual agreement.